Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucchetti joined as always by the one and only El Presidente, Carter Augustine. What's up, Carter? How are you, man?
How many presidents can there be, Nate?
I don't know. You know, El Presidente means it's a different country, right?
That's fair.
So I don't know.
I'm great. Goals are flying in.
How about that?
Yeah.
7 goals in 2 games for Sporting Kansas City. This is a change from what we've seen in the last couple of years, and we're going to talk about that. We're a lot of changes because there's a new man taking penalties for Sporting KC as well. His name is Elie, and he's going to join us in the segment next. So that is coming up on the show. We'll talk with him about the way Sporting Kansas City have played so far this year, about his new added responsibility as at least one of the penalty takers for Sporting, and his first goal as an SKC man. And we will also preview the upcoming game against the Colorado Rapids, which is on Saturday night at 8 o'clock Central Time from Commerce City, Colorado. Of course, we'll have the broadcast on Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app, and on our sister station, 94.5 FM. And, of course, we're going to recap a thrilling 3-2 victory over the San Jose Earthquakes that took place this past Saturday at home. And we'll talk about some travels coming up for Carter Augustine, a pretty cool gig he's got going on this coming weekend, and a pretty cool deal for the Sporting KC Academy team as well, which I think you're going to find very interesting and want to hear about. So we'll talk about all that coming up. But you mentioned it, Carter. Goals are coming in. Now, goals are being let in a little bit as well. But let's start on the positive side. I don't know the last time Sporting KC had 7 goals in the span of 2 games. It's been quite an impressive run of form offensively for Sporting Kansas City.
It has. These guys feel like they've hit the ground running. And, you know, there were some rumblings after the 2-0 in the first game against NYC. But I think in terms of offense, those rumblings have been quieted pretty effectively. They really have done well. I think the new guys have some real quality. But overall, as a team, they're creating chances. I think if you talk to the players and the coaching staff, they'll say they've been creating chances the past couple of years. But now you see the play of the likes of Daniel Shallowy, Johnny Russell, and Felipe Gutierrez, and I think these guys are just fantastic players, and they're playing really well right now.
Okay, some numbers to back up what you're saying about converting chances, because we spent a lot of time last season talking about the fact that Sporting KC were converting or were getting chances. They were creating chances, they were creating shots, but the goals were not resulting in those chances. So last season, just 7.8% of Sporting Kansas City's total shots resulted in goals. That was 21st out of 22 MLS teams. So they were getting shots. They were not converting. We know they were at the top of the league in shot attempts. This season, their conversion rate is almost doubled. Up to 14.9% of their shots have resulted in goals. That's up to 7th. So from 21st to 7th. There's a lot of other numbers that go along with this. I know you and I have talked about this new popular statistic in soccer, the expected goals category. Now, it's an imperfect stat. I think you and I both agree with that, but it can at least tell you, maybe be an indicator of certain things. And when it comes to Sporting Kansas City in terms of expected goals, last year they scored over 10 goals below their expected goals average. This year, so far, they're scoring 5 more expected goals. That would be the average at the end of the season. Let me put it this way. They've scored 7 goals. They've got an expected goals total of 5.3. So they've got almost 2 more goals than what the expected goals say they should have. Now, some of that's because 2 of their goals have been fairly long-range strikes. The one from Zusi, obviously, is the one that stands out. The first stat, though, I think means a little bit more. The one about the fact that they're converting on almost twice as many of their shot attempts as they did last year. Look, it's a small sample size. It's only a couple of games. But what do you make of it when you hear those numbers and what you've seen with your eyes on the field, this new Sporting Kansas City attack?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the first stat is the more important one. It certainly backs up anecdotally what the coaches and players have said, that they've felt like they created a lot of chances last year. They just weren't able to finish those chances in the final third. And I think it speaks to the finishing that these guys have done. so far. I mean, you talk about Graham's goal, which is unreal. You don't expect a guy to come in and hit it like that. But the other goals as well. Felipe has two from, you know, just on the edge of the area there. And I think they're decent finishes. And these stats back up the fact that, yeah, they're finishing these chances that they're creating so far this season.
Yeah, and I think if you just go back and you look at the goals that have been scored so far this year, you can kind of put them in different categories. Like you said, the one by Zusi, that's just a phenomenal strike. And Zusi's been close. He's been really close on a handful of those over the past year plus, hitting the crossbar multiple times on free kicks, things like that. So maybe some of that you can just say, look, the odds are if you're that close, you're bound to find the back of the net at some point. But then
and
I say,
and they didn't close him down either. So I'm curious what the XG is on a goal like that. It's with his weak foot, but he's got 3-4 touches right on the 18 without being closed down. You know, being a professional player, you would figure that he'd get it on frame. I mean, not like that worldy, but that's where XG I get kind of confused on it, on what qualifies as an expected goal or not.
Yeah, and it goes through a mathematical formula. They have specific criteria that determines what is an expected goal and what isn't, and how far it ranks on the spectrum. I'm with you on that, because the thing that stands out to me on the Zusi goal is, how many players even try that with their off foot? You know, I mean, a lot of guys, I think, they might get left unmarked dancing along the 18, but they're not even going to pull the trigger from that far
especially
away.
Especially fullbacks.
Yeah. So does that increase the level of difficulty? But the fact that you know it's Zusi and he has a good left foot, does that decrease the level of expected goals? I don't know, or the degree of difficulty. He was completely unmarked, and it was terrible defending by San Jose, but it doesn't take anything away from the tremendous finish by Graham Zusi. And then I think you take the two longer range efforts that we've seen from Felipe Gutierrez so far, one in the game against Chicago, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head whether or not that was in the penalty area.
I think he's just inside.
Just
there.
On the 18. Yeah. Just, and then this one on Saturday was just outside the 18. But both times, look, they were... You're expected to score those goals, I believe. But he made no mistake with the way he took both of those. And I can't remember if both of those were taken first time or not, but he placed them in the side netting and gave the goalkeeper no chance to make a save. To me, that's the type of pinpoint finishing that we did not see a year ago, and hopefully you see continue for Sporting Kansas City going forward this year.
I agree. Those finishes have been sublime, and we didn't see that in the past. I think there's been some really good interplay as well with these guys. You talked about on the broadcast, you and Matt did, that seems like Johnny Russell and Daniel Shallowy really have a nice connection starting to bud together. We'll talk about it later when we preview Colorado. It'll be interesting to see how Sporting does without Daniel Shallowy this weekend. But I think there's been some the penalty. Well, obviously, you go back to the game-winning goal against Chicago, one of the most beautiful goals that I've seen from Sporting over the past few years. But then that penalty this weekend was fantastic. Daniel Shallowy scooping it to Russell. His first touch is unbelievable. And then he gets his second touch away from the keeper and draws a penalty. And you know, Shallowy won't get an assist for that, but it's a fantastic interplay. So I think, yes, the finishing is there, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from the guys up front as well, starting to really gel together.
Yeah, you just hit what I was going to touch on in terms of that third category of goals. There have been a couple of easy goals. I mean, the penalty you have to call an easy goal, and the tap-in or the rebound header by Felipe Gutierrez. Now, he had to be in the spot. He had to put it away. Those goals, yes, they came because of fantastic interplay and good buildup. And even the Johnny Russell goal.
Against Chicago.
I don't know where that ranks on the expected goals.
I think it was actually not very high. And it's like, well, he's running onto a ball right in the area there.
And if you go back and watch that one kind of threaded the needle through about two or three defenders who were trying to get in the way to block it. Mm-hmm. The pass itself, but I also mean the shot too. In fact, I thought one of the defenders, and I talked to Johnny about this, one of the defenders let that ball run through, and he was a little surprised that it got all the way to him. But the point being is that these passes are setting up, you know, not all chances are created equal, not all shots are created equal. They're getting themselves in positions for some good goals, and so far they're putting them away, but it will be interesting to see now that Daniel Shallowy is going off with the Hungarian U-21s for a couple of weeks. boy, he doesn't have a goal yet to his name, but I feel like almost every single goal that Sporting have scored so far this year, he was an integral part to that goal.
Yeah, he's playing really well. He's near the top of the league in assists already. Like you said, he hasn't scored, but he hasn't been afraid to shoot either, and I think that has drawn a lot of defenders into him. They always know that he's ready to shoot. He looks like he's really up for it to start the season.
Yeah, so it will be interesting to see how Sporting Kansas City cover the the loss of Shallowy in the short term. We might see some Johan Quaze back out there, maybe an increased role for Gerso as well. Who knows? But that's going to be something we'll talk about, as you said, when we preview the Colorado match here in a little bit. As for the other side of the shoe for Sporting Kansas City, I thought it was interesting. Peter Vermes, after the game, was asked a lot of questions about conceding two goals at home again. They have conceded seven goals in three games so far. And he said, look, you guys are going to have to decide what you want. Last year, you were all over me because we didn't score enough goals. Now we're scoring goals, and you're all over me because we're conceding some goals. I think some of that, Peter Vermes is going to be quick to take up for his team. Mm-hmm. And we like that fight and spirit.
Certainly
Peter
immediately
Vermes.
After the win, too,
yeah,
right?
For sure. But some of it also, I guess it begs the question a little bit, how much of what Sporting have done conceding goals is a result of them committing more forward to score goals, and how much of it is simple breakdowns that they can eliminate as the season goes forward?
I actually did get to talk to Peter today at training, and it seemed like he thought it was more individual mistakes. And he said the one thing that – not the one thing, but the biggest thing that they've been very good at in having this really rock-solid defense over these past few years is he feels like their individuals – usually make the right decisions, especially in defense. And, you know, it's the team defending ethos, but on an individual level, on game-by-game basis, he felt that in most of the time his guys are making the right decisions. And just in these first couple of games here, he thinks there's been some uncharacteristic individual errors. And so I think they're hopeful that they can kind of squash those out, and it's not necessarily having more guys forward. Although, I mean, you've seen it as well. It seems like they are getting more guys forward into the penalty area, and that seems like a real big focus this year. But I think he thinks it's more just some individual errors, which it did seem like that, especially on that first San Jose goal.
Sure. I mean, I think there's no question they're getting more players into the penalty area, and I think it's a mentality of two specific guys they brought in, and that's Johnny Russell and Felipe Gutierrez. You did a great report for us during the course of the game on Saturday about how Felipe Gutierrez is setting the benchmark on all of their metrics when it comes to the GPS tracking and the amount of ground that he covers. Look, and this is no slight to Benny Failhaber. Benny Failhaber just wasn't a guy that was going to cover that much ground, and it wasn't his mentality to go crashing into the penalty area and flying around the field as much. I think also Gutierrez's presence on the field has allowed Roger Espinoza to get himself forward a little bit more often. And what we all see with Johnny Russell, he's going to get himself in the position to score a goal like the goal he scored. I mean, he made sure that he got there when Daniel Shallowy got to the end line. You put those guys in the mix, and I just think there's a mentality of guys on the field right now that are getting themselves in. They want to be in the penalty area to score goals.
I think that's completely fair, and I think I don't think we could be too effusive of Felipe Gutierrez and how he has started the season for Sporting Kansas City. He has been fantastic. And like you said, he's setting all the benchmarks for all the running stats that they do, but he's getting stuck in the tackles as well. He's got the goals added on. And like you just said, he wants to get into the area, in and around the area. And it's a really welcome sight. And I think from him is kind of where it all stems.
Yeah, and I thought, boy, if you want to put it into perspective, I hadn't thought about it in these types of terms. I don't think Matt Lawrence is the type of person that's just going to heap undue praise on a player. He's been around the game for so long. He's pretty matter-of-fact with the way he looks at things. And on the pregame show on Saturday, I mean, he raised my eyebrows when he said, I think this guy can have the type of impact that Miguel Almirón had for Atlanta United. That makes you step back for a second if you've watched this league for the past year. Because I don't think that Felipe Gutierrez arrived here with the same type of hoopla.
Yeah, he hasn't had any of the fanfare of, I think, any of the signings this offseason in MLS.
Right, and he might have been one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think we're just going to keep seeing how good this guy is on a weekly basis. So to go back to the point, though, I do think, yes, they're getting more bodies in the penalty area. But I think we're also seeing that from guys that are still willing to track back and do the work. I mean, I've been very impressed with Johnny Russell and his willingness to track back defensively. He went flying into a tackle when they were up two goals in the 93rd minute or whatever it was on Saturday. So I don't think that you're sacrificing those guys defensively just because they're willing to get forward. I'm more inclined to go along with Peter Vermes. I mean, we can look at the goals. The first goal that San Jose scored, that was their only half chance in the entire first half.
Yeah.
And there was just a breakdown in communication. Nick Lima found himself in 15 yards of space. And from that point on, everyone's scrambling to recover. Those are the types of communication breakdowns we just didn't see last year. And I personally, I don't know about you, I have a ton of optimism that with the guys that we're talking about here, Seth Sinovic, Ike Opara, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, Elie, those will be cleaned up. I feel much more confident about that than had they got off to the start of the season not scoring any goals, that they would get that going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that there's, I mean, it's going to be a long season, but I'm optimistic that it'll get sorted out easily.
Yeah, you talk about sample sizes, and you just feel like this back line is, over this long period, they've done just so remarkably well that they'll revert to that form. And we always talk about how the first 10 games of a season is the new team gelling together. We saw that the main focus from the NYC game was the cohesive press and how everyone needs to learn the pressing system together. I think they're still doing that as well. So once they start vamping that up and knowing how to press as a team, I think that'll help the back line as well.
All right, so we are off and running on this edition of the Sporting KC Show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Elie on the heels of his first goal as a Sporting KC player, as Sporting got the win 3-2 over the San Jose Earthquakes on Saturday. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we've got you covered. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine. And we are joined now by a man who scored his first goal as a Sporting KC player on Saturday that got things started in SKC's 3-2 win over San Jose, Elie Sanchez. Elie, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. And you just told me before we started the interview that you just get out of English class here today?
Yeah, that's true. We have English lessons Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So, yeah, but my teacher is agree with that. You just owe her some gift, and we will be fine.
What is she into? Like, what would be a good gift for your teacher? Do you know what she likes?
Probably a Spanish book or something to read, because she's a good woman, and then she just like to know and learn everything that she can.
Elie, how many of the guys are in classes with you? Seems like there's a big Spanish-speaking contingent on the team now.
Yeah, today we are four guys, Felipe, Emiliano, Christian, and I. We were doing this lesson, but usually we are all the Latin community in the team, so we are a big group.
So, I mean, I got to be honest, Elie, your English is so good. It was so good even last year. Do you feel like you even still need lessons?
I mean, I appreciate it, that comment, but for sure I need as much as I can, because now these last weeks I try to make a difficult sentence, more difficult sentence, and it's tough. It's tough for me, so I need vocabulary, maybe grammatic, and I will be fine. But, of course, I need to keep doing English lessons.
What types of things are you guys working on in class? Is it mostly, do you spend most of the time talking to one another in English, or are you reading? Like, what are you doing in class?
Yeah, we are learning vocabulary, especially for Emiliano and maybe Christian and Felipe today. I'm more an assistant teacher today, but I will have my own class maybe tomorrow. So we are trying to speak, to talk to each other, and also to read. We are not writing today, but we used to do it. So it's about everything that we can do in 1 hour or 1 hour and a half.
Well, what about the different types of Spanish that you encounter? Is it different speaking to Emiliano, who's from Argentina, as opposed to maybe one of the two Chilean guys?
Yeah, I mean, we all have different accents and different words too, but I can speak their Spanish, they can understand my Spanish, so we are more than fine with that.
These classes take place out at the training facility?
Yeah. It's you know, it's a big opportunity to be here because we have enough rooms and enough spaces to do whatever we are thinking to do. And there are guys just cutting their hair next to us. So we can do whatever we want here just to be ready for the weekend, especially for the weekend. And we don't have to think about taking the car, going to some school or some university, or even the guys who are cutting the hair to go to the barber shop. It's amazing. I mean, I think that you know this place, but as a player, it's fantastic to have all these services for us.
Now, here's what I want to know, Ilya. Are the English-speaking guys taking any Spanish classes? Because that's one thing I've actually been telling myself lately is, you know, I took Spanish classes in college, but I need to, especially the more I commentate on soccer, I need to learn more Spanish. I need to be better at this. These guys, half their teammates are Spanish speakers. They should be learning Spanish as well, right?
You are doing good, Nate. You are doing good. But I also know that Matt, the captain, is trying to learn Spanish. He already knows some good words and sentence, and he's doing a good and a big effort trying to speak to us sometimes in Spanish. Also Ike, he's next to me in the locker room, and he's doing a good job. He stops, I don't know why, last week he stops with the Spanish practice, but they are doing a good job, and we also have other Americans, players, and also in the staff, the trainers, that they want to speak, and they are interested in doing that with the Spanish guys.
Is it really hard for you to understand Johnny Russell's English?
That was private, you know. I didn't see the camera. Nah, it was a joke. Yeah. His English is decent. It's decent.
Scottish. We did an interview with him, and you know, we're trying to make sure we can understand everything he had to say as well. We're visiting with Ilya right now. Let's get into the soccer, Ilya. First of all, congratulations on your first goal as a Sporting KC man. Tell me what that means to you.
Hey, I scored in preseason. You didn't see that?
That doesn't count.
Okay. For me, count, because I'm not used to score, so every single goal, even in trainings, count in my score. No, seriously. It was good to make this PK, also because we were 0-0. It was the first goal in the game, and put us in a good position to keep moving the ball with more confidence, to keep knowing that they were going to die in the second half, and that's what happened at the end. So I'm happy for my little contribution, but it's what they said, no? We have good shooters for penalties, and I just took the responsibility on Saturday, but we will see the next games. I'm just happy to help the team, but I'm more happy for my job during the game and for my teammates' work, especially because we got the 3 points.
Well, yeah, you talk about being happy to do your job. I'm curious, are you prouder of scoring the penalty or making a play like you did on the third goal where you make the tackle that leads directly to the goal, although you didn't get to see the goal on that particular play, but I'm curious, does one of those plays maybe mean a little bit more?
Yeah, but both actions for me, I mean, meaning a lot, but yeah, maybe what you say it makes sense because I have to be focused on what will happen every game. So Piquet will be like just in some games, and maybe they're not going to call another one until next year. So I have to do my job every game, and then if we have another opportunity like that, I will be there. I will raise my hand and if my teammates trust me again, so I will shoot it. But my job is for sure being in my position, trying to help everyone on the field, and I'm maybe a little bit more proud of the third goal and also the second goal. It was just Susie's action, but I'm proud to be there behind him and trying to get in the best spot.
Yeah, that Zusi goal was something I think we'll be talking about the entire year. Can you strike a ball like that with your left foot?
No. I don't think so. Not with this power. You know, he seems like his right foot sometimes, left foot and others. So we are so glad to have him on the team. And especially now that he's doing, he's even improving more his performance.
We're visiting with Elie. To go back to that third goal that Carter asked you about, I got to be honest, Elie, you made me really nervous, man. You were down on the ground, and on the one hand, as an announcer, I was trying to get really excited because it was a great goal, but on the other hand, I saw you laying on the ground, and I feared the worst because we can't lose you, man. So tell me what happened there, because we were all pretty scared.
Yeah, maybe because I'm not used to complain, no, after a tackle or it was just, I mean, I had pain and I got hurt by Wondolowski. It was like not intention tackle or hit. I was first touching the ball, so he just hit my calf, and it was really painful, but once I saw that Felipe scored, I just tried to lose a little bit more time to make my teammates recover in their positions, and then we start again the game. So it was really painful, I promise, but also you have to be smart on the field and sometimes trying to take everything that you can. And if that means that we have to lose a little bit of time, It's also part of this game.
Certainly. You know, just don't give me a heart attack, okay?
Okay.
That's all. No, it totally makes sense.
You know, after 10 years of a professional, my parents know that sometimes I'm acting more than what I'm feeling. So you can think that way, okay?
It's good to know. Good to know. What about the goal celebration? We got to ask you about that, because after you scored your penalty, you just stood there and you stared at the cauldron. You didn't run and wave your arms or anything like that. Is that your thing when you score goals, or
no.
what was that about?
Hey, you want to know too much, you know? No, it's just sometimes when you score, you are so happy. I was so happy, but it was a Piqué. So at the end, it's what they said. As a shooter, you have nothing to win. I mean, the goalkeeper has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So the normal thing is to score the PK. So it's just a way to show that I was happy and I want to share that with my teammates. But it's like when you celebrate a PK, it's not a real celebration because, okay, you have to do it. Then when you miss it, everybody's going to complain on you. But you have to do it almost every time that you have the opportunity. So I don't know. It's what I felt on that moment. But of course, I was so happy for the team and also for the Calderon.
That sounds like an American saying that we have, act like you've been there before, is what they say over here. We did touch a little bit about the third goal from Felipe. I'm curious from you, Ilya, what have you made of Felipe Gutierrez coming in? We certainly have been impressed. And then maybe you could talk about just how the midfield is a little different this year with him and Roger playing ahead of you.
I think that everyone we could see from first training and first actions that he did in trainings, that he would be an important player for us in this team, because the way that we play the midfield is important, that we have a good connection and not just between each other, also with the whole team. He's doing a really good job in that way, because he tried to do his best, and also he tried to make the team play. So he's being huge important for us. And okay, if at the end of the game he can score, and what he's doing these last games, it's more than fine for us. But his job again is to play and make the team play, and he's doing a fantastic job in that way. And also he's defending. I remember yesterday night talking to Roger. We talked that he we say in Spanish that él mete pata, no? That he doesn't think and in he's not afraid in put his leg between an opponent and the ball. So he just tried to take the ball from the opponent and to defend as an animal. So he has both qualities, attacking qualities and defend qualities. So it's an important player for us, and I just want that he can keep this level for as long as he can.
You said el mete pata? Is that what you said?
Sí. Okay. He mete pata, like he put his leg, like he.
Okay.
I don't know literally the translation, but it's like he is not afraid to put his leg and to try to win the ball.
Yeah, and he gets stuck in. Is what they say in English.
Yeah,
very cool.
Mete pata.
Yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, this is being an English lesson, so I don't need to come back to my English.
Yeah,
you can start.
Well, you're teaching us Spanish. That's what I like. I just want to make sure I'm saying it correctly. Metipata, is that right?
Metipata. Okay. Yeah, metipata.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we liked it. We just learned something. Yep. See, this is good. We're helping each other out here. Ilya, before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts. You mentioned defensively. Obviously, I know you guys aren't happy with 7 goals conceded in 7 in 3 games so far, but we know how good this team can be defensively when you guys have it all clicking. Do you feel like this is something that can be easily sorted out, that you guys can get back to the defensive record that you had maybe a year ago quickly?
Yeah, I mean, if we have to be worried about something, it has to be to scoring goals, because it's more difficult to score goals than to not give goals in your goal. So we have to improve. That's clear. But we are focused on being aggressive and being good in the attacking side. So at the end, we have back four line that they are doing this job for a lot of years, and they are being the best defense in MLS for many years ago. So also we have team. We don't have to be worried about anything having team. So it's we need time to adjust the offense way and the defense way, but and we are not happy about letting them score 7 goals against us, but we will improve, and we are not worried about being aggressive with. I think that this Saturday, next Saturday, will be a good way a good game in both ways, offense and defense.
Certainly another opportunity to get a big 3 points on the road in the Western Conference as well. Elie, we certainly appreciate the time and the brief Spanish lesson that you gave us.
Yep.
And best of luck on Saturday. We hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Anytime. Okay, so see you soon.
All right. That is Elie. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting KC Soccer. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with El Mete Pata. Carter Augustine. I like that term, and you looked it up, Carter, the actual literal translation.
Yeah, put a paw in.
He puts his paw in. Yeah. That's the same thing as getting stuck in.
Yeah,
I like
cool.
it. El mete pata.
Yep.
So we might have to use that, you know, sometime on the broadcast now because we know that.
That's true.
Because we always like that phrase, you know, get stuck in, you know.
And it's a very good English soccer phrase.
It is. It is a good, and it's descriptive, and now we know what it means.
And it's one that you hear the like parents saying from the sidelines that don't really know, but it's like a pretty common thing, right? Like
right.
just get stuck in. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
But some guys actually do get stuck in, and Felipe Gutierrez is certainly one of them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's one of the many things we like about him. And, of course, we appreciate Elie being generous with his time and coming on the show with us right after his English lesson as well, by the way. As we look forward now to the Colorado Rapids, Carter, this is a tough one to figure out, I think, because once again, I mean, I feel a lot like we did going into the Chicago Fire game in that we only have one game to go off of.
And San Jose.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're similarities from the Chicago standpoint in that there were new players and a team that we'd only gotten a chance to see once in a game. San Jose, we'd only had a chance to see them once, and maybe even more similarities because a new coach,
new manager, new players,
with some new players,
new system,
and that's what we're kind of dealing with Colorado. Now, I suppose you could say, look, they had a couple of CONCACAF Champions League games as well, although their manager said he basically looked at those as preseason friendlies. So I don't know. We think we're going to see a 3-5-2. That's what the Colorado Rapids put out there in their first game, which was at the New England Revolution, but they didn't play this past weekend, so it's a little bit of unknown about this particular Colorado team.
Yeah, I think there is some unknown. And like you said, Mikhail Stara coming in last weekend with San Jose, we weren't exactly sure how they would line up. But I think we have a better sense of Anthony Hudson just because he comes from a little bit of more of an English-speaking background, right? And so I think that we know that with New Zealand, he ran that 3-5-2 pretty exclusively. Sometimes, especially with international jobs, it's more of catering to the players that you have. But it seems like when he runs it in the first game against New England, that this is his preferred system. So I think it's a little weird to not have seen these teams more than once in the early stages. But I think it's going to help Sporting. Honestly, we've talked with Peter Vermees about how this team needs time to gel. They need 10 games. Well, they've had three. Colorado's only had one. And if they're switching to a 3-5-2 with new players, you know, players that aren't necessarily used to that 3-5-2, I think it might take some time for them to adapt, don't you?
Certainly. I think it's been an advantage for Sporting in each of the last two games. I thought they were clearly the better team in the first half against Chicago. It doesn't take a soccer genius to figure that out, as they were leading 2-0, but I thought they deserved every bit of the 2-0 lead in that one. And then in the San Jose game, look, it was 1-1 at halftime, but Sporting absolutely dominated that game for the first 45 minutes. We talked about it. There was one mistake that led to a San Jose goal. But I think that Sporting looked like the team that had played together some and was ready to play and had a collective idea of how they wanted to play much more than their opponents. So I certainly hope that's the case again this time around. And it's an interesting juxtaposition, too, from this standpoint for me, Carter, in that last year the game at Colorado was maybe the most frustrating game of the season. One of the most frustrating games of the season for Sporting anyway. They suffered a 1-0 loss. They dominated the play in that one as well. I don't remember the last time I've seen a home team concede the ball the way that Colorado did in that game last year. Once they got their goal, they didn't even try to have the ball. Sporting had, I think, 24 shots in the game, but only put one on target. Couldn't really ever seem to break down the Colorado defense at all. Look, the manager's gone. Back line's all different now. The whole team, for the most part, has changed. But I do still think there's an opportunity here to see a difference in, we believe this is a much better finishing team than last year's team in that final third. And I think we're going to get an opportunity to maybe see them prove that again on Saturday.
I think so, too. And I think, like you said, just this team knowing what they want to do a little bit more than I think the last two opponents had. And I think that'll be the case again with Colorado. I expect Sporting to have a ton of the ball as well. New manager, but you would hope that Colorado would play a little bit more than what happened in that game last season. But I still think Sporting with that midfield trio is going to have a whole heck of a lot of the ball as well.
And you kind of wonder where the goals are going to come from for this Colorado Rapids team as well. Yeah.
They signed the new guy, Yannick Bolli. He seems like the one. He's got a decent goal-scoring record, right?
He does, but this will be the first time he's worn a Colorado uniform. So how is he going to fit in to a quickly changing team as well?
And if not him, then who?
Yeah, I mean, Dominic Badji, I think, was our leading goal scorer last year with 7.
Yeah.
Marlon Harrison's playing at a wing-back position right now, so you don't know how much he's going to get in the opportunities to score. And this is not to diminish the opponent at all, because we know it's MLS, and on any given day, anything can happen. So Sporting have to come ready to play. But I think they got to go looking to say, hey, this is an opportunity to get 3 points on the road in the Western Conference.
I think so, too. You have the carrot out in front of you. You could start 2-0 on the road as well. And we know how tough points are to come by on the road in MLS.
Sporting win 2 games on the road all last year.
Yeah.
You have a chance to equal that total with your first 2 road games in 2018. Mm-hmm. What a start that would be.
It'd be a fantastic start. And I think they know fully well that they have a really good opportunity here, as for all the reasons we mentioned. This Colorado team just hasn't had a good enough time to gel in terms of MLS games. But like you said, there's some unknown players in this team, some new players that we won't have seen before, that maybe won't have any idea of the quality or of the trickery that they possess. So I'm excited to see. Hopefully Yannick Bolli will play, make his debut, and we can see what he has to offer, and a few of the other players as well.
I'm going to be interested to see, too, what Sporting Kansas City does in the absence of Daniel Shalloway.
Yeah.
Will it be Johan Quaze? Will it be someone like Jurso coming in? For Quaze, I feel a little bad for him, because, look, his first outing didn't go well. He said as much after the game on Twitter. And Daniel Shalloway's just kind of taken that job and held on to it. And so for Quaze, maybe this will be an opportunity for him to get back out there and try to show what he can do. No doubt he's frustrated. I would assume that he hasn't been able to get those minutes that he might have thought he was going to get at the start of the season. So this is an opportunity for him to prove that he belongs out there as well, which could be interesting. All right, also interesting, what happens with the Sporting Kansas City Academy at the Generation Adidas Cup coming up this weekend? Carter Augustine's going to be there, and he'll tell us all about it when we come back. You're going to want to hear that conversation.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we've got you covered. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting KC, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I want to remind you that you can tune in to the Sporting Kansas City at Colorado Rapids game on Saturday at 8 o'clock Central Time on our sister station 94.5 FM. Of course, it'll be on TV with our pregame coverage starting at 7:30 on Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app. Nate Bucati along with El Zapato, Carter Augustine. I'm saying that because you are going to be at the Generation Adidas Cup on Friday. Tell me a little bit about this event, Carter. You got to broadcast some of it last year, and you're going back, and a great opportunity for the SKC kids this year.
Yeah, surprisingly, they've called me back. I didn't burn any bridges, so I'm very happy to be able to go back down to Dallas. It's a wonderful competition. It really has morphed into one of the premier U17 competitions around the globe. It started off about 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, and really was just for MLS academies to try and get a big tournament to play. Started inviting some more and more teams from outside that would come in, and I think teams started realizing that it's actually a pretty good quality of a tournament to really get their kids a stern test. And so it's really grown in stature. River Plate has won a few of the last championships, but it should be quite the tournament. And it starts off with Sporting Kansas City. They get to play Real Madrid on Friday. So, I mean, what an exciting challenge for those kids in the SKC Academy.
Yeah, put yourself in the shoes of a 17-year-old or younger for Sporting KC, and you're going to get to play against the U-17s of Real Madrid down in Frisco. And what time is that on, and where can we watch it? Because obviously Sporting Kansas City fans should be very interested in this, see some of the kids.
Yeah, I think they're going to blow this thing up even bigger than it was last year. They've got a pretty huge plan, MLS does, in terms of their social media presence on this tournament. And because SKC, who actually were in the top division last year as well, which you get by qualifying through your whole regular season. And unfortunately for them, the schedule just didn't work out last year. SKC didn't get any of the televised games. Just kind of funny how the schedule works out. Well, they get Real Madrid group this year, a reward for finishing top of the Western Regional in their regular season play. And what that means is it's pretty much the big premier game on Friday to start. It's the headliner on Friday to start the tournament. So it's going to be on at 6:15, and it's going to be all over. It's on the MLS YouTube, MLS Facebook, MLS Twitter, and I believe Sporting's Twitter is going to carry it as well. So they're really blowing it up. I think there's going to be a few more games like that as well throughout the tournament, but it's really getting started with SKC Real Madrid on Friday.
That's going to be awesome. 6:15, you said?
6:15.
On Friday, so you can check it out, MLS. Yep. Soccer.com. You can go to the YouTube page and all the social media channels to watch it. And then you're turning around and hopping on a flight first thing in the morning on Saturday so you can come join us in Colorado for the SKC game.
Yeah. Bummed I don't get to spend the Friday with you guys out there, but I'll be on the red eye early as you like. And up in Denver, really excited for that one. Should be a good one as well. I think one more thing on the GA Cup, they've got Atletico Paranense in their group, who is a Brazilian team, and then New York City FC. So I think it's a really good group for this SKC team. And if you can, I think it's worth tuning in to whichever of those games wound up being streamed.
Well, we're starting to see so many of these kids, the academy system for Sporting Kansas City is starting to crank out legitimate pros.
I mean, Gianluca Busio was at this tournament last year. He was playing several divisions up, obviously. I mean, he's still could qualify and you think maybe they bring a ringer down with them this season. I think you're right that the academy systems are starting to pay dividends, and this is really one of the showcase events for the MLS academy system.
You might get a chance to see the next star at Real Madrid, the next star at Sporting Kansas City playing this game, just see who impresses you.
Just for reference, Flamengo was down last year. They had a kid that they were telling me about that they said he didn't get to make this trip, but he's our best U-17. Well, he just got signed by Real Madrid last summer for a world record for a teenager. So there's talent that's going to be coming through.
There's legit talent down there. Well, and there's going to be talent down there calling the game as well in the form of Carter Augustine. And that's going to do it for us for this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Our thanks to Elie for joining us on the show. And again, don't forget, 8 o'clock on Saturday, Sporting Kansas City playing at the Colorado Rapids on Fox Sports Kansas City, the Fox Sports Go app, and on 94.5 FM. We'll see you next time on the Sporting KC Show.